welcome everybody to the gospel meeting this evening. I'd like to thank the children up front for being willing to sit close. It's nice to have some people in the front row. So let's start the meeting by singing hymn number 14 in our pamphlet here. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
You've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you holy, trusting in His grace and power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
God and Father, we do earnestly seek thy help here this evening. We just pray that what is spoken may be applied by the Spirit of God to the hearts of the ones here. And let us know, Father, there's someone here who is wrestling with the question of their eternal destiny. Someone who perhaps feels guilty about their life and feels the need to confess it and confess the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We pray that a work may go on in the heart of such a person tonight. We pray that there's a hard heart, that it may be broken. We pray, our God and Father, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified. And we pray that someone here might be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We do think of the gospel message that was just went out, and those who heard it, the gospel supper, we give thanks that that opportunity was there. And we pray they will not forget what they heard, but that they will go home, or even now, get down on their knees and confess Jesus as their Savior. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We also sing hymn number 25, Life the Best is Very Good.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the running of a sheep in time. Fleeting days are telling us that the time will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, even time, even time. Jesus Christ.
Started this evening. Over the last couple of weeks, Lynn flew over here ahead of me to be with her mom and dad, and I have to confess that I wasn't sleeping very well at home. Night after night, I would lie awake, and what was playing through my mind continuously were thoughts of the brevity of life, particularly around the fact that I'm 45 now and I have a daughter who will be graduating in a year, Lord willing, a son who will graduate in 2 years, and my youngest, and just if the Lord left this year, another 9 years, potentially could be moved out of the house. And those thoughts just played over and over in my mind. I don't start the meeting tonight to act depressed about that. It's great for them that they have new opportunities. But I guess it really kind of started to shake me up a little bit, how fast life can move for me. You know, there's boys and girls here who are very young. And it does seem, I know the thing, it seems like yesterday we were your age. Time just swiftly goes by. And you know, I don't have a grand theme tonight to base this gospel on. It's just going to be the gospel. But what has been very much on my mind lately is how we slide through life day after day, especially in the relative ease of the Western world. There's been no world wars lately. We hear the These days, more frequent news of shootings on the radio and such. But generally, day by day, life goes by, and we don't give matters of eternity very much thought at all. And then all of a sudden, once in a while, something will come into our lives, and we see the hand of God in it, and we are shaken out of our slumber. You know, something like that happened to me this summer, and well, not just me, it affected a number of people. Just to recount the story, there was a good friend of ours, his name was Jude Turpin. 2 weeks before the conference we had in St. John's, he started to feel a little bit of numbness in his hands. Sometimes his speech got a little bit garbled and he didn't think too much of it. But it was a concern. And I'd say about a week before the conference, roughly speaking, we had him over for coffee at our home. And he limped a little bit. Otherwise, you could speak to him normally. And 2 days later, he went to the hospital. And he never came out of the hospital alive. I guess he did for a few days, if I were to get my facts exactly right. But this man, Jude Turpin, is 57 years old. He actually died in the very same condition that Senator John McCain just passed away from. I think the term is correct, glioblastoma, which is a tumor of the brain. And from the time he got his official diagnosis, we got the news in the middle of the St. John's conference, until the time he passed away, it was 2 weeks. And he was just like the curtains of time parted for a moment and the hand of God came in and showed us something that was far more real than the day-to-day life we were living. I had never in my life been in a palliative care unit before. Many, I'm sure, here have. But you know, it was quite a thing to be in the presence of someone who was hours from eternity. This man, Jude, I'm thankful to say, knew the Lord Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. And he was very much at peace with where he was going. But you know, I stepped out of that palliative care unit and I walked down the halls of that hospital and just peered into some of the rooms that were there. You can't help but wonder the stories of the people. One man I vividly recall, he was sitting beside his bed all alone. And his head was in his hands, just like this. I can't imagine. He knew he was on death's door, literally. I don't know whether he knew if he was ready or not. But you know, this is what is on my heart a little bit tonight. First of all, the brevity of life. Second of all, the fact that the time, if you will, that we walk through in this life daily is but a small part of the picture of what really matters. Just yesterday, I had two conversations. First was with a lady in the hospital whose daughter had died of liver failure. And she made the casual comment to me, "Oh, my daughter had faith. She really had faith." And then a little while later, I was in a home speaking to a loved one. And we were talking in matters of life and death. And he spoke of the fact that he was pretty sure what would happen when he died. But he wasn't really sure that this was the Word of God. And maybe this was just an interpretation. And hopefully he could have a chat with the big guy when he got over the other side. And so that brings me to the verse that I want to just turn to express some of these thoughts. A very sobering verse in Isaiah chapter 40 to start this gospel meeting. The end of verse 7. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's my desire tonight, and hopefully we'll go through this quickly, that we can learn a little bit from God's word what will give you certainty when your time comes to pass into eternity. Because eternity is very, very real. Very real. The word of God is something that stands and it's eternal. But what you see in this room does not stand and it is not eternal. Even this world, there was a beginning, there will be an ending. The Bible starts in the beginning. 1 Corinthians 15, then comes the end. And we turn to a passage in Peter a little later that tells us that this world, this school, your backyard, your home, everything in this world is going to be burned up. It has an end. And children, and adults too, we all, when it comes to material things, there is an end. Except for the fact that if the Lord were to come tonight and give a shout to call those of us who are His children home, we would be gone in the blink of an eye, changed, incorruptible, and we would be with the Lord. But unless that happens, we will pass into eternity one day. And so I want to, tonight, take up really two thoughts. One is, if you were to pass into eternity tonight, could you say to somebody, I know that when I pass into eternity, the question of my guilt for the wrongs that I have done in my life, what we call sin, or doing what you want to do, I know that question is dealt with and cleared. I'm going to ask you the question tonight. You don't need to answer me. How do you know whether the question of your sins is dealt with or not? You know, well, just, you don't need to turn to it. These are so familiar, these verses. But Romans chapter 3 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 10. Verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to ask you the question again. If you were to die tonight, on what basis could you say that you were clear before a holy God? And so I'm going to endeavor in just a couple of minutes to give an answer to that question. It's contained in Romans chapter 3. Because I believe it's very, very important. And I want to go back to what I said a little bit earlier about my father-in-law. I guess I have to... It was him I was speaking to. Because we live in a world where there's no such thing as truth anymore. And people don't even know their Bibles. They don't know things like sin. What's sin? They don't understand things like the blood of Jesus and its importance. Even the concept of heaven and hell, many people have no answer for. They don't go to church. They don't read their Bibles. They don't entertain God in their thoughts at all. So I want to ask you the question tonight. Can you give an answer to the question? If you were to stand before God in eternity tonight, is the question of your sins dealt with? And so I just want to go over some verses that are inexpressibly beautiful. They're a little bit difficult, but let's just read them briefly in Romans chapter 3. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So I'm just going to endeavor to try and help you understand these verses, because they really are very, very important verses for you to understand. And children, I'm going to try very, very hard to make this simple. You stand before a judge, and that judge is told that you have done something wrong. And the judge determines through the evidence that he has before him that you're guilty. You're guilty. How can that judge set you free without dealing with the question of your guilt? Without payment having to be made for the wrong that you did? How can that happen? Well, these verses say that God can be righteous in clearing a sinner of his guilt. And how does He do it? I just want to look at verse 25 for a moment. This is a hard word, propitiation. I've always enjoyed it in the simple meaning that it has. Mercy seat. Mercy seat. In the Old Testament, there was the Ark of the Covenant. And every year the priest went in with the blood. And the blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat. And the cherubims looked down. That was the mercy seat. And the cherubims looking down on that blood are a figure of a holy God looking down. And what does He see there? The blood of the substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. How do I know that if I die tonight, and how do you know that if you die tonight, you can stand before a holy God and be clear of the guilt of your sins? This is such an important thing to understand. It's because the blood of a sinless Lamb of God was shed for me. And God has accepted the worth of His blood and His death on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a valid payment, and He as a valid substitute for my sins. It's nothing to do with me at all. And this verse says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. I ask you tonight, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus as your substitute? He is the one who took your place. He is the one who died on Calvary's cross. He is the one whereby you can be clear of the guilt of your sins. It doesn't need to be, and it should never be, a question of, oh, I have faith. If I die tonight, I have faith. Faith in what? Being spiritual? Faith in being a member of the church? Faith in I was a very good person to my neighbor? What's your faith in? It should be in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as being accepted by a holy God as a payment for your sins. Very, very important to understand that. That's God's Word. That stands for eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's no room in that for what I've done at all. It's just belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and what He did on the cross and His work before a righteous and a holy God. You know, I want to tell a little story now, because I want to bring out another side of the gospel. I got an email this week, 2 days ago, from my sister. Her name is Melita. I don't think she'd mind me telling this story. And Melita has a little boy He's only 1 year old. How old are you? Yeah. 6 years old. This boy's 1 year old. His name is Micah. And Micah is dying. You know how we know he's dying? I saw him this summer. He's basically the color of yellow-green all over his body. He has a very distended belly because his liver doesn't work anymore and he's filling up with fluid. And he's itching all over and he scratches himself all the time and he isn't gaining weight. Micah is dying. Well, Melita wrote an email this week and she said, the doctor called and we're waiting for the call. And the thing that struck me in her note, she said to us, pray for the other family. Little Micah is dying. His life depends very probably on someone else losing their life. And you know, this is where matters of eternity are very, very real. Because even as I speak here tonight, there's a family somewhere else who doesn't even know, perhaps, that they are going to lose their child. Isn't that incredible? Others do, they don't. But sometime very soon it's going to happen. And that child, through the giving, through a sacrifice of a vital organ, is going, we trust, we don't know, the story's not over yet, going to be the means of life for another person. Micah will live because someone else will die. And we should pray for that other family. You know, they're waiting for the call. They haven't left the call yet. We don't know when our time might be to die. You may walk out of here tonight and it may be your last night. But are you prepared to go? And so the other side of the gospel I just want to give is this. That God, in His love toward guilty men, sinners like me and you, people who have done nothing but rebelled against Him and hated Him, people who give no thought to Him and curse His name every day, in His love, He offered up His own Son to give life to you. Did you know that? And because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Question, do you believe that God loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son so you could have life? Everlasting life? Eternal life? You know, there's a verse that has been before me this week. In 1 John 5, it's so simple. If you don't remember any other verse from this meeting, I hope you remember this one. Verse 12. 1 John 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have the Son tonight? If you don't, you don't have life. And if you have the Son, you have life. I want to go now to a very real matter of eternal consequence in Revelation chapter 20. This is real. Here is a scene that causes us to tremble every time we read it. It's outside of time completely. There's a throne, and the Son of God sits on it. And there's a lineup of people stretching far, far into the distance. And there's a huge stack of books there. And in the books, a record of your life and mine. And in those books, every single thing you've ever done, every thought, every act, it's all written in the books. Let's read it. I saw, verse 11 of Revelation 20, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them, no hiding. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tremble to say it, but if there's a person here tonight who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, this is real for you. If you persist in your rebellion against God, one day you will be in this lineup. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. And you will stand before God, and your name won't be found in the book of life. And you will be judged on the basis of the works of your life, which can never ever meet the standard of a holy God. Will you be there? But isn't it a beautiful thing that the moment you accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name goes into the book of life? You won't be here. And you know, I would just say to everybody here tonight, because this has been a great burden to me, and I feel sometimes as we go through our lives that we get sucked into thinking, we just forget that there's matters of eternity. You know, there's a verse I meant to read at the start of the meeting. I want to turn to it because it's an important verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please turn to it for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're in time here tonight. But what is eternal is what really matters. The things that cannot be seen. And you know, this goes for your work, your school, your assembly, your family. What are you doing that is of eternal value? How quickly we forget this. You know, every conversation you had today, did it have eternal value? And I say it to me. How I spend my time every day, every week. in the light of eternity. We had that a little bit in the reading meeting this afternoon. Eternity is real. This man Jude, and I go back to that, he had a job. He actually worked at the Ramada. He fixed things there. And in the blink of an eye, his job was over. And in just as fast of a time, he was in eternity. It was that fast. And he was the Lord's. You know, it was a beautiful thing. We went to his funeral. And people commented on his life, his meekness. He always had time to listen to people. He would always help you no matter what. And we knew him in the same way. He lived his life for eternity. And he died in peace. And he had no regrets. And you know, I know there are some in this room who have been through similar circumstances with their families in recent years, who know that those they love live their lives in the light of eternity. May we all do so. It's real. Very, very real. And so I would just close this gospel meeting this evening with a plea to you all. If you were to enter eternity tonight, on what basis would you stand before a holy God? Do you have eternal life? Do you know that God loved you so much, He gave the Son of His love? Let Him go to Calvary's cross so you could have life? Will you reject that free gift? Accept it tonight. And so I can just... That's all I had in my heart. As I said, no special theme. The gospel is a very simple thing. But I think sometimes, myself included, we get so dull to it. And how real these things are, which are not seen. Maybe we could just pray. Our God and our Father, we give thanks that the Father in His love sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary's cross so that we who were dead in sins, through faith in the Lord Jesus, could have eternal life. We are so unworthy of that, our God and Father. And we just pray that if there's someone here tonight who has stubbornly rejected that message, who wants to live their life for temporal things that are brief and pass away, that they may realize that should they be called into eternity tonight, that they will have no answer before a just and holy God. May they understand that there is an answer for that in the Lord Jesus and His shed blood on Calvary's cross. Our God and Father, we just give thanks for that great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. We ask these things in His worthy and precious name. Amen.